Well, Turkey, through which the Euphrates runs, just built a couple of big dams. Finished them off a few years ago. Still building a few more on the Euphrates. They now can cut the flow of water in the Euphrates River to a trickle. Like a stream running through your backyard down here. That mighty river. Not maybe they did it to the point that Ankara really complained because they depend on that river for a living and they almost had a civil war over it because the cities above can cut off that water. And you said, you've got to be kidding. No, it can be done this morning. It's dried up for what reason now? That the kings of the east might be prepared. You see, we read on about the Battle of Armageddon. The correct pronunciation is Hebrew. It's Harmagedon from the Valley of Megiddo. And there's going to be quite a war there, and the kings of the east, that's the Chinese, they're going to come down and face the Antichrist and his armies. It's a threesome, really, because Russia and the Arab nations have already signed an agreement that they'll forever fight whoever they have to fight, but they'll be on each other's side. So we got a threesome going, and they're all watching each other because they're all going to fight each other sooner or later. But coming from the east, and I said, what kind of kings, what kind of people are coming? 200 million soldiers, the Bible reports, are coming. It reported that they were coming, 200 million of them, when 200 million people were not on earth. There weren't that many people in the entire world. And the Bible, it's saying, oh yeah, going to be an army, 200 million to come, and better watch out. And people laughed. Last month, China announced that they have an army of 325 million people. That 200 million can be mobilized now, still leaving over a million to stay at home, 100 million, stay at home and protect the homeland. Winston Churchill, during the Second World War and right after, the subject of China came up, and in his wisdom he said, my friends, China is a sleeping giant. Let her sleep. Don't get her riled up. China has more garbage men than we do people. They'll send the 200 million. And he said, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. The frogs represent demons. They come out of the mouth of the dragon, that's Satan. And out of the mouth of the beast, that's the Antichrist, who is posing as the Messiah. And out of the mouth of the false prophet, that is the head of the worldwide one religion that will be in effect. And that is the false Trinity. The real ones, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the devil tries to imitate anything God does. So he shall have a trinity. The Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles. And the things you see on TV today, and you see people flocking to these religious people who say they're working miracles and they're not. And people are drastically disappointed, for they carry people with strokes and cancer and terrible sicknesses, and they're not even allowed to get in the line, let alone have hands laid upon them and nothing happens. But thousands across our country, millions, are following these people who are supposedly working miracles, and they're not even working any. Do you know how many will follow when the false prophet calls fire out of the sky and he does it? When he makes the image of the beast that's to be worshipped actually speak, and they do begin to see these miracles happening, do you know how quick they're going to fall in line? And they'll worship the beast. And of the whole world, these people go forth unto the kings of the earth, that's the head people, the presidents, and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. That's the final day, that's Armageddon. They're going to come and do battle against God. I want to wish him the best of luck. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Armageddon. Isn't that funny that they think they are invading Israel, when that's where God wanted them? And of all the places in the whole wide world, he put them in a field, the Valley of Megiddo, because that's where he wanted them. Napoleon, the great warrior, passed by that place and viewed it and was salivating. He said, "Oh, for a war to be held here that I could be part of. This is the greatest natural battlefield in the world." Little did he know that the greatest war of all time would happen there. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, meaning God speaking, "Can you hear me now?" saying, "It is done. I've done it." You read this, and maybe no one's ever explained this to you before. I'm glad I had the opportunity to. It always reminds me of a janitor who was at Dallas Theological Seminary. It's a good conservative Bible-believing seminary that teaches as I teach. I'm sure they do a better job. But some of the seminarians, young boys going to be preachers, finished their college training. Now they were in seminary, as all us young men do. We going to shoot a little basketball, you know. So they were in the gym, and they'd go down and play 3-on-3 or whatever you do, having a good time like we've all done before. And one of them noticed that the janitor enjoyed their play, and a little black man, and he'd watch them play, and they were supposed to close at 9, and he'd let them ease on over to 15 after and sometimes 9:30 because they were having so much fun. And he noticed the little old man was always reading while he was waiting. And he passed by one evening and saw him and said, "Excuse me, what you reading?" He said, "The Bible." He said, "Good. What part?" Said, "I read in Revelation." Well, the seminarian was taking Revelation, and probably from Dr. Walvard, and it's very deep. And you got to know what you're doing if you begin to help people understand it. And the seminarian knew that this gentleman didn't have the education that he did. So he asked him a question. He said, "Could I ask you a question?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "What does it say?" The little man looked at him and said, "It say Jesus wins." He understood. the book of the Revelation. And when it was done, God shows who's in control. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake, and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. I enjoy reading the fierceness of God's wrath, and I can understand that when I know he's sovereign and who he is and how he created all we see by just speaking a word. Ex nihilo, he did it out of nothing. And I understand the fierceness of his wrath. It gets a little befuddling all over when they speak of the wrath of the Lamb. What kind of wrath does a lamb have? He can't bite you. He has no horns. He has very little strength. He's not poisonous. What kind of wrath can a lamb have? For you see, the cousin of Jesus, when he saw him coming, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." If he took away the sin of the world, the Lamb had to be God, for only God can take away the sin. And the Lamb's wrath is the wrath of the fierceness of his wrath, which is God. Oh. And every island fled away. They couldn't find them anymore. And the mountains were not found. I said, oh, well, that's quite a thing, earthquake. The word earthquake there doesn't mean earthquake like you and I know it, where the earth opens up and things happen. This means a shaking, a great shaking of the earth. And the whole earth will be shaken to a point that these cities, every city is destroyed. And all this takes place, and there's only one thing that can cause that to happen, and that is for the earth to be tilted off its axis. I forget what the degrees are now. If it was a few more, this ocean would come in twice a day and drown everybody. And it's there, and it's wobbling now, the scientists tell us. And they said if this wobble increases, it's much like a ceiling fan. If you've had one start to wobble in your home and starts off gradual, then it gets looser and worse, and you let it go and it's foom, foom, foom. You've seen them. And if you leave it long enough, it'll throw those blades off of there and come crashing down. That's what the earth's going to do. Be shaken to the point that nothing can stand. So what in the world could cause that? Well, if they turn loose all the nuclear weapons we have today, the scientists say that would cause that. Just the ones they have today. So, well, that sounds preposterous. Do we have anything to point to? Says the scientist and the archaeologist. Yes, we do. In Genesis, you must read very carefully because it's just a very short thing that says, and the channels, the divisions came in the day of Peleg. Peleg was a gentleman related to Adam, as we all are. He was a little bit closer. And when he was alive, the continents were separated. They weren't always together. Take a map sometime and cut out the earth, and you can pretty well put it back together now, except for the fictitious Atlantis that fools believe in. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. That's 125 pounds. Where do you get hail 125 pounds? I've heard of softball-sized hail falling. I think some fell in Texas just this past summer. And you hear of golf ball size, and you hear of ping pong ball, you know, good size hail. But who ever heard of great hail, 125-pound chunks? Surely this is symbolic. No. We've found out that when you drop a nuclear weapon at the detonation point, it gets over 4 million degrees in a megasecond. Isn't even calculable. As we all learned when we first struck a match or played with candles, heat rises. And you drop a nuclear weapon, and you've already seen the mushroom, have you not? Such a common symbol, they call our heaters here, mushroom heaters. We know what that looks like. And what happens when this tremendous heat under that power is shot into the heavens? When it reaches and takes the moisture, sucks it in, and takes it up with it. In the stratosphere, which is above the atmosphere, this turns to ice. It's crystallized. And great chunks of about 100 pounds each start to fall. And I said, I never thought I'd live to see all this, Lord. How close your coming must be. And men blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail. For the plague thereof was exceedingly great. All that's available to us this morning. Will the Lord come this week and this starts? I don't know. Has everything been fulfilled that makes him eligible to come? Absolutely. Nothing needs to happen for the church to be taken out and this to get underway. Not one thing. The only thing that prevents his coming now, today, and he still may, is God wills that all men be saved. And he's putting it off as long as he can tolerate it. So maybe you can get in if you're here today. The picture of that tribulation period, 7 years, was given to us way back when another judgment came on the earth called the flood. It was a photograph, full color, 8x10, suitable for framing, when Noah was told to build an ark. It took 120 years to build it. And was 100 miles from any water, and was a preacher and a fool according to the townspeople, but he followed what God said. And after it was built, God said, get an ark. And he said, what? He said, get an ark. Set it at the front door and leave it open for 7 days. We've told these people for 120 years what was coming. And they will not repent and will not believe. I'm going to give them 7 more days. You keep preaching. Get in the door of the ark. But in 7 days, I'm not going to tell you to shut the door because you a sissy. And when they start drowning, you'll open it again and ruin the whole thing. You get in there, and that 7th day, I'll close the door. Because it's going to be on then, Jack. And he got in for 7 more days, said, look, this is your last opportunity. Please. Not the first one. He and his family went in. God shut the door, sealed it, and the rains came. You know the rest of the story. Warning of judgment. paid no heed, judgment. God said, well, let's try one more time. Warning of judgment. The preachers preach. The Bible schools teach. Beg and cry and plead, please turn it around. Repent means to turn and walk in another direction. And men look at us and laugh. The churches are virtually empty. They all lose members every year. In fact, God said here, when I return, will I even find the faith on the earth? Slowly going away. The message is obvious for you this morning. If you know not Christ, you may live to be 115. You may die this week. You really want to gamble? Are you fool enough to gamble your eternal existence away on a maybe? Based on what, don't you believe? Build your case against this. I'll debate with you. Please come with a loaded weapon, because I got one. Based on what do you think you're going to make it on your own? Based on what are you going to escape the fierceness of the wrath of God? No facts. No hope. Just on what you think. I'm glad my eternal life doesn't depend on what I think. It depends on the promises of the Lord God Almighty, all of which have come true. Why would you think these won't? That's why it's not I, but the Bible who says, it's a fool that says in his heart there is no God. And those who do not believe the record have called God a liar. Serious trouble. Way more serious than stealing a coat with a dog on it. And I promise you, God is very, very serious about that sin stuff. To the point, he shed his own blood to pay for yours and mine, that we could be forgiven. If you aren't, this morning where you sit, as we sing, you quietly pray, Lord Jesus, I didn't know. I've been very casual about this. I've heard this. I just didn't know. But today I know. And today I seek forgiveness. Please, please forgive me for my sins against you. And make me clean and make me whole. And let me live with you forever. And I promise, on the authority of that book and the results of he who wrote it, he will do for you what he did for me. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you. And we can read your word, and it springs from its pages alive as if the print were still wet, and as if we left John on Patmos and got in the plane and flew here today and said, I've got news. Only you could write a book like that. Only your apostle could see this happen and write it, and then only you could reveal it to us to make it plain so people don't have to go through this. I'm sorry anybody does, but like you, I know the heart of man. I am one. And those here this morning, Lord, have been to church all their life, brought from good Christian families, maybe and maybe not. But they're at the crossroads of their life. And should they leave here without you, we know their ending. If they live on until you take the church out, their ending will be the same. It'll just be extended a little bit. So please, this morning, whoever here who doesn't know you as Savior, would you pause at that person this morning and tug at their heart one more time? Would you pause and let them have the heartfelt feeling that we know who know you, that you loved us so much you came and died for us? Would you let the ones who don't know you end that this morning and accept you as Savior and know the joy that we know that whatever comes upon the world, it'll be all right. For we know He who is in charge and has not appointed us to wrath, but has appointed us to live with Him forever. And for that we thank you. Give those who are here from afar a good trip home and a safe trip. Thank you that they came our way. Be with our family who meets here on Sunday, Lord, most of which claim you as Savior, but those who don't, Lord, would you not let them today make that decision between you and them? We don't take names and call people to the front. For those who do, that's well and good, and may God bless their efforts. Lord, you know where they're sitting now. Would you please touch their hearts and let them come to you? And may you receive all the praise and honor and glory, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.